Our text this morning is going to be from Psalm 100 as we prepare. As we prepare for our Thanksgiving weekend, we are going to be in Psalm 100. You know, sometimes it's really hard to be thankful. We know the scripture. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And he admonishes us, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We know that we are to offer prayers of thanksgiving for everyone. And each year on the fourth Thursday in November, it rolls around with a national cry for us to give thanks. Except for this year, we are being told to skip Thanksgiving. And believe it or not, some are telling us to skip Christmas as well. Good luck with that happening, particularly if you have younger children in the household. Our world has been invaded by what seems to be an uncontrollable virus. We are told that if we do normal things, we're going to kill Grandma. Wait a second. I'm married to Grandma. I don't want to do that. In the last week, our county has moved to the level severe risk. Code red. Now, code red normally means there is a fire somewhere, but every once in a while it means something far more dangerous, as if a fire isn't dangerous enough. Code red indicates an immediate hazardous situation. If the hazardous situation is not avoided, death or serious injury will occur. They don't say that it might occur, but in code red, they say it will occur. We are at code red. Don't move. Don't have a Thanksgiving meal. Don't greet someone. Don't give thanks. After all, in this time, what do we have to give thanks for? Life is no longer the life we have enjoyed prior to COVID. No matter what action you take this Thanksgiving week, it is going to be wrong. Someone is going to tell you it is the wrong decision. So give thanks for that. No matter what you do, you're wrong. So how do we give thanks in such volatile times? One of our traditional Thanksgiving hymns was written by a German pastor, Martin Rinkert. It was a long time ago in the 1600s. It was written in the midst of the 30 Years' War. In the 30 Years' War, about 8 million people lost their lives. That averages out to about 750 people a day that died in the 30-year war. Martin Rinkert is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year. That's an average of 15 funerals a day. Obviously, he was in a mega church, but still, 15 funerals a day? His church was ravished by war and death and economic disaster. And in the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and he wrote this table grace for his children. "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns when with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for this it was and is and shall be evermore." How does someone give thanks facing a crisis of a 30 years war where you're performing 15 funeral services every day? How do we give thanks in the midst of a pandemic, which may very well cost the lives of our loved ones? How do we, as believers in Jesus Christ, how do we, as followers of the Word, obey the biblical call to give thanks in all things? I suggest that we do so by staying grounded in God's Word and allowing our hearts to be transformed by it. The psalmist gives us a pattern for a life of thanksgiving when he pens the words of Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his courts, his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. So how do we give thanks when there is so much bad news, when there is so much stress in our lives, when it seems that no matter what direction we turn, someone will be critical for the decisions we make? It seems as though we're trapped and there's no way to do the right thing. So how do we give thanks in our present situation? The psalmist gives us three keys to thanksgiving. The first is simply this: make a joyful noise. Don't you love that term? Make a joyful noise. Now, I don't know what your joyful noise is. I have a lot of joyful noises. Sometimes it's a healthy belch after dinner. It says in some cultures, that was an awesome meal. Thanks. Sometimes it's a loud sigh of contentment. Ah. Sometimes it's Hosanna or Amen, Amen. Sometimes it's a clap of the hands. Yes, God has been good. What's your joyful noise? You know, Scripture doesn't say you have to be able to sing like a rock star. Although, when I think about some of the rock stars, they don't seem to have that good of voices. Some have great voices, but some of them, it's pretty gravelly, and I'm not impressed. God doesn't ask you to be a lead singer in a hallelujah chorus. He just says, make a joyful noise. Amen? Yeah! Great! Awesome! Woohoo! What is your joyful noise? Just make a joyful noise. In the midst of this pandemic, we ought to be making noise. Okay, we have to do it in the confines of our own house because we don't want to be shouting and screaming outside, but let's make a joyful noise. Now, actually, I think that he probably prefers that you sing, but he starts with make a joyful noise. The psalmist encourages singing in verse 2. He says, come into his presence with singing. And, you know, you don't have to be good at it. You just have to do it. And I know sometimes you feel embarrassed and you don't really want to sing. But there's an interesting thing that happens when we sing. When we sing Christian songs, when we sing praise songs, when we sing hymns, when we sing choruses, it begins to change our heart. It changes our mood because it focuses our mind on something other than ourselves and our problems. when we worship in song, we direct our souls heavenward, and it leads us to give thanks. Although there is a place for deeply contemplative songs, when you are struggling with the idea of giving thanks, I suggest that you migrate to praise songs, uplifting songs. Sing a happy song. Songs which help you rejoice. Songs which help you enter His courts with praise. There are Christian songs which are good theological songs, but they have a tendency to drag down the spirit. I remember Kind and Merciful God. It goes something like this. Kind and merciful God, we have sinned in your sight. We have all wandered far from your way. I mean, just singing that much, I want to cry. I want to say, happiness is a new creation, Jesus in me. I want to sing songs that just lift us up. Ho, 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 Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah. He saved me, now I've got the joy of the Lord. You can sing it. An uplifting song. Make a joyful noise. Make it in song. And especially during seasons of distress, we need to make joyful sounds, even if all we can make is noise. Just make some noise for Jesus. Make a joyful sound. Sing. Lift your spirit as you direct your heart to Christ. The second key to giving thanks is, when giving thanks is tough, is to serve with gladness. That's what the text says. Serve the Lord with gladness, verse 2. Now, serving with gladness is another means of helping move our hearts away from discouragement and self-reflection. Because when we serve, we choose to make someone else more important than us. A part of the malaise that happens in the midst of a virus like we're facing right now is that we get stuck at home, we get stuck reflecting upon ourselves, and we think of all the things that we are missing. We begin to have this woe is me attitude. We forget that all across the globe, at every home in Grand Junction, every home in the state of Colorado, in the nation, and most of the world, every home is battling with what do we do with COVID? What is safe? How much do masks protect us? How much do they not protect us? Do we have to wear them when we're family, or do we not have to wear them with family? There are governors now who are saying, when you're at home, wear a mask. Well, you know, I've tried, and it's really weird kissing my wife through a mask. Just saying, don't try it. I guess you could try it with your wife, but don't try it with mine. Serve with gladness, because when you serve, you begin to think outside of yourself. And by the way, this is a fully biblical concept that we have other people, we consider others to be more important than ourselves. Unfortunately for many, the idea of service has been wrapped up in a facility, in a church building. We serve by teaching Sunday school, or we serve by manning the nursery. And actually, in my years of ministry, I think that that's an incorrect statement. We usually serve by womaning the nursery. Hardly ever is a man in the nursery. Just saying, and if you were here, I would hope you would laugh at that. We think of serving as, I'm the greeter at church. And these things are important. And we highly value those of you who are greeters or who are counters. Those of you that serve here at the facility. But when our gatherings are restricted, when many of the traditional service opportunities have gone away, how do we now serve with gladness? How do we serve when we can't get together, when there's no one coming to the front door of the church for us to greet and to hand a bulletin and say, I'm glad you're here today? This is where, especially in crisis times, we need to choose creativity. We serve with gladness, and it may mean that you make one phone call a day. That you reach out to someone who you're pretty sure is lonely because you're lonely. And we have a choice to make. When we're shut up and we're not able to do stuff, we have a choice. We say, oh man, nobody ever calls me. I'm so sad. Woe is me. Or we can say, wow, somebody ought to call people. You know, if I wish someone would call me, maybe I should call them. The thing is that when we do that, if we're serving with gladness, we don't serve with the expectation that someone will finally get around to calling us. Instead, we make the phone call with gladness that we are able to serve someone, to reach out to someone. Even while maintaining social distancing, it is possible to serve others. And remember that by serving others, you are serving God. So take some time. Write a note. Send an email. Make a phone call. Send a gift. You know, most people don't need much. There are some who need a lot, and we try to provide for them through benevolence. Most people don't need much. But even a $5 gift card to the drive-through of some restaurant to pick up an ice cream cone or a soda, it just says, hey, I care for you. I was thinking about you. I want to bless you. And we serve by discovering the needs that others have and then spending time praying for them. A note that goes along with it and say, you know, I was thinking about you today, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm praying for you. You came to my mind today because I miss you. I wish I could worship with you. I wish we could sit next to each other and sing the Hallelujah chorus together. But I can't. So all I can do is pray for you. I'll give you a phone call and let you know that. And if you have anything you need me to pray for you about, just give me a call. These are the ways we decide how to serve one another. The other thing we can do, because a lot of us have plenty of time, is we can actually learn a new skill which can be shared with others. You know, you could shop for someone. Here's something which our church, frankly, is not very tuned into, but we could learn to Zoom. Zoom doesn't just mean go fast. It's a way that you can connect online. You can do it with your cell phone, as long as you have a smartphone. You can do it with a tablet. You can do it with your computer. And you can call someone and say, hey, let's meet in a video call. It's amazing what we have to do. Now, I recommend that you make sure you're looking okay when you do a Zoom call. But just reach out. Figure out how to do it. If you want to learn how to Zoom, there's a number of people in our church who can teach you how to do that. You just have to ask, and we'll teach you. You know, you can spend some time thinking of the needs of others instead of your own needs, and that in itself will help you give thanks. One almost certain result of thinking of the needs of others is that you will find that your concerns diminish in importance as you help others with theirs. The reality is that as difficult as we may have it right now, there are plenty of people who are struggling under far greater stress, far greater emotional trauma than we are. Serve one another with gladness. This is one of the ways we give thanks. As we do that, we say, man, I'm so glad that I'm not you. I'm so glad that I have my life because I can handle my life. And I just pray that you can handle your life. Finally, if we want to give thanks when giving thanks is tough, we need to remember who we are. Remember who we are. In the midst of all that's happening in this world, it's easy to forget that we are God's children. Much of this psalm really sets out to remind us of who we are. The psalmist says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. No matter how tough things appear, He is still God. Amen? I hear that, amen. Amen. He is still God, no matter how bad things get. We are still His people. We are made by Him. He treasures us and values us. God is actually more interested in our well-being than we are. It's an amazing thought. And it leads us to thanksgiving when we remember who we are. The picture of his people being sheep in the pasture is telling. The great shepherd cares for his sheep. And for this, we give thanks. Our life is not solely dependent upon our abilities. Society may say that we are the masters of our own destiny, but such an attitude takes God out of the equation. Remember, he is our maker. We are his. It is amazing to me that many in our society are saying, don't celebrate Thanksgiving. But these are the times when we ought to celebrate Thanksgiving most. Because remember, he is our maker. We are his. Honestly, there are times when I think about the church and I wonder, what's going to happen? What is the future going to be, not just of Living Hope Church, but of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of churches all across the United States and around the globe? I wonder that if when the pandemic is over, will people find that they would rather continue to attend church in their pajamas? I suppose it would be a new fashion statement. They do it in high school. Why can't we do it on Sunday morning? Because it would be weird. It would be really weird. Don't come to church in your pajamas. But I wonder, at the end of the pandemic, will we find it has been really convenient to just roll out of bed, turn on our computer or our TV, click into YouTube, and not see people face to face? Will the church as we know it shrivel up and die? And honestly, as pastor, I feel a great burden. Plan for the future. Plan for what we are going to do to entice people to return to face-to-face worship. And then I remember, as important as the church is to me, it is far more important to God. And then I give thanks. As under shepherd, I am responsible to remain faithful, and God will take care of his church. When I remember who I am, I give thanks. When giving thanks is tough, remember who you are. You are God's child. He redeemed you through his Son. You are Christ's friend. You have been justified. You have been bought with a price. We are members of Christ's body. As believers in Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into the family of God, and therefore we have direct access to God. We can approach his throne with boldness because we are forgiven and we are loved. We are free from condemnation. All things work together for good. We cannot be separated from the love of God. We are citizens of heaven. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The psalmist says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And because of that, we can give thanks. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. So how do we give thanks when giving thanks is tough? We make a joyful noise. We serve with gladness. We remember who we are, and then we are able to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, giving thanks to him, blessing his name. This week, you may or may not gather together with your family, with some friends, on a day when our nation traditionally sits down to eat turkey and to say thanks. You know, the day is only marginally significant. As believers in Christ, we really don't need a day set aside, as though giving thanks once a year is sufficient to obey the biblical mandate to give thanks in all circumstances. But this year, in the midst of a pandemic, the call to thanksgiving is perhaps more poignant than usual, more important in the expression of our faith. For when people are telling us there can be no thanksgiving this year, we should have a ready answer. Thanksgiving is not a day. It is a life choice. It is a decision I make every day, today, tomorrow, and Thursday, and every day we give thanks. Make a joyful noise. Serve with gladness. Remember who you are in Christ. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I'll close with this. There was a pastor who was known for always having something positive for which to give thanks. And in the midst of a huge crisis, a crisis not unlike our present pandemic, he said these words, which we can all say today. We thank you, God, that it's not always like this. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you that it's not always like this. We thank you that as believers in Jesus Christ, no matter what's happening around us, we can still give praise. We can still direct our hearts to heaven, and we can still lift up our voices and sing praise to the King Almighty. We thank you that we can choose a lifestyle of thanksgiving. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now as you worship this way, as you plan for your thanksgiving, I give you this benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.